Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and the survivors of Hurricane Ian this past Friday. This is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to the one and only Pro Wrestling Interviews, PWI. It's great to have everybody here. We got a tremendous show tonight, got great commentary, got great things to talk about. And first of all, our buddy Tony is here with us from Richmond, Virginia. How are you doing, Tony?
I am doing great. Yeah, it's been messy, like raining all weekend here in the RVA. And, man, I hope everyone in Florida is doing well and safe.
Well, we are here in Myrtle Beach, and we're glad you're safe tonight. In beautiful, because Richmond's a beautiful town, it really is. And just glad that you're okay. And our host for tonight, Stellar Steven, the professor of wrestling. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
Oh, I'm doing great. Glad to have Tony on. We have a lot to discuss.
I'm going to make a joke. You're probably glad to have Tony there because you're not stuck with me, but that's okay. We would have had a great time anyway. So anyway, yeah, it's great to have Tony here, and of course you, Steve, and we're gonna have a spectacular evening. I'm going to turn the ball back over to you, buddy.
Yeah, later on I'll definitely have to get into some retrospective on Antonio Inoki, who we – just recently lost, and 79 years old. But I do want to talk to Tony about a upcoming event for WWE with Extreme Rules, and it was October 1st recently that we lost Antonio Inoki, so definitely we'll dwell more on that later. But since it's upcoming, it's October 8th, Extreme Rules pay-per-view. I did want to talk about that with Tony while we had him on. I'll kind of go over the card, and then, Tony, I'll get your thoughts. First match I see listed is Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey, the Extreme Rules match for the SmackDown's title. I think normally Ronda Rousey beat Liv Morgan 9 times out of 10, but given that it's Extreme Rules match, there's a chance that Liv can possibly just use that stipulation to her advantage. But you also don't want to give Ronda Rousey a Singapore cane either. So it'll be interesting to see how that finishes. I want to see Ronda take it back, but I think they're trying to elevate Liv. And there's a good chance she could win, possibly just due to the stipulation. Second match I see listed is Fight Pit match with Daniel Cormier as a special guest referee. That's Matt Riddle versus Seth Rollins. It's going to be very interesting. I like that stipulation. It's kind of similar to the Lion's Den matches that you would see in the Attitude Era, which is a more MMA-influenced style match. And we've seen two Fight Pit matches in NXT where Timothy Thatcher got the wins in those matches. And Kurt Angle was a previous referee for one of those Fight Pit matches, the one with Thatcher and Riddle. So I definitely will be interested in this one. I think Riddle has lost the Fight Pit match twice, I believe, or before, so... But it's more his style, so it's a good chance he could win this. And but Daniel Cormier, I think he has a relationship with Rollins, so it's gonna be interesting to see if he has any bias at all in this match. I was kind of hoping Ken Shamrock would be the referee, but Daniel Cormier is a good choice as well. And Antonio Inoki, his style times gets called Inokiism, and basically, he considered pro wrestling a martial art, a shoot that can compete with other martial arts. And but I think if he was following WWE, he'd be interested in this match for sure. The third match I see listed is a strap match with Drew McIntyre, Karrion Kross, Scarlett ringside. I definitely want to see this one because it, you normally don't have strap matches, and this one's going to be very hard on the body for both of them. And I think Kross needs to win. I'm going with him. Drew just recently lost Roman Reigns, so he needs to win too, but I'm kind of rooting for Kross in this one, and it should be a very hard-hitting match with the strap stipulation. I'm not sure if it's the four corners rules where you touch the corners, that could be the case, but I'll have to see if they have any contacts that they, you know, bring up on the show or on TV leading up to it. Fourth match I see listed is the ladder match for the Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair versus Bayley. Bianca Belair defending it. I would like to see Bayley win this because she just recently came back, and Damage Control is their new faction, and I'm a fan of Io Sky, my her work, so. I'm kind of rooting for Bayley in this, but Bianca Belair is one of their top women, so it can go either way. Fifth match I see listed is I Quit match with Edge and Finn Balor. I got to go with Balor. Because it's I Quit match, there's a good chance that, that Finn Balor's Judgment Day faction could get involved in this. Even though Edge might have backup, I think the number, if there's a numbers game, if there's outside interference, I'm giving the Edge to Finn Balor. And, I'm kind of rooting for Finn to win this, too. Another match I see listed, the sixth match, is Brawling Brutes, the six-man tag team match, and apparently it's a Donnybrook match. Not too familiar. I know there's been possibly another one of these, I guess it's just more of a themed hardcore match. This is Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch, Brawling Brutes versus Imperium, Gunther, Kaiser, and Vinci. I'm going with Imperium. It could go either way, but I got to get the edge to Imperium. Gunther got the win over Sheamus at the Clash of the Castle pay-per-view. And I think they need to follow up and give them the win. But you never know. It could be a good showcase or Butch, Pete Dunne, the former Pete Dunne, to get a win in this. I'd like to, if Brawling Brutes get the win, I'm hoping Butch or Pete Dunne gets the win. But I'm kind of rooting for Imperium and Gunther. It'll be great to see Gunther and Sheamus fight, and also Gunther's history with Pete Dunne in NXT UK. That'll be very exciting in that six-man tag as well if they clash. So, Tony, what are your thoughts on this card and some of the matchups announced?
Honestly, I actually love this card. This is Extreme Rules. Like, I know none of these matches are just regular matches. Like, they're all stipulations, and that's what I love about Extreme Rules, is that, like, each match has a stipulation. Like, you know, for Liv and Ronda, like, in Extreme Rules match, you know, anything can go. Like, either, like, because we might see, like, Shayna Baszler get involved or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of can see Liv retaining here, but Ronda could win here, so it can go either way. And mm-hmm. with the fight pit match, I'm definitely rooting for Riddle, because Riddle has more experience with the fight pit, within the fight pit with Timothy Thatcher up in NXT, so he knows every single part of this match. So I'm rooting for Riddle for this. The strap match is really hard for me because I love both Drew and Karrion. So that match can also go either way. Now, the ladder match, I will have to agree with you. I am rooting for Bayley to win here. The I Quit match, this is also hard, too, because, like you say, like, you know, Judgment Day could interfere in this match. And the only person that the Edge has is Ray. So I don't know, like, who else will also help Ray. So, but we'll see. But, I mean, if it could work out, maybe Edge could win here. But I kind of have a feeling that Finn is going to win. Now, for the good old-fashioned Darnbrook match, when I was thinking about this, like, I was kind of thinking this match can be like a old-school, like, British bar brawl or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I was kind of thinking of, because when you think of both of these teams being from the U.K., they wanted to bring that U.K.-style fighting, like bar fighting, to the WWE. So I'm really glad that this match is like happening. And if I had to pick who to win here, like I know Gunther being Sheamus at Clash of the Castle, so I would really like to see Sheamus, Ridge, and Butch get a win over Imperium.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a good chance for Sheamus to get the win and possibly follow up with another match later on. But I think the thought of former Pete Dunne, now Butch versus Gunther has my interest in that match. So yeah, pretty much in agreement with the. Your takes. We were discussing the possibility of talking about AEW Grand Slam, so I'll kind of go over some of the results and we can dwell on the shows. There was a tournament recently for the vacated championship, and Brian Danielson and John Moxley were the finalists in that tournament, and that it was on Grand Slam show, and Danielson lost to John Moxley. I see it was knockout in 19 minutes and 15 seconds. Very interesting, given that they're both in the same faction. Blackpool Combat Club with Regal. I'm somewhat surprised that Moxley regained the title, even though he's been a pretty dominant champion. I know he lost to Punk in Chicago, but he had that shock win over Punk in that 3-minute match in Ohio. So this has been a great summer for Moxley, and I think it's very well deserved that he regained it back. I'd like to see Brian Danielson get a run at some point, but Moxley's kind of been one of the top faces of AEW, so it made sense for him to regain the championship. But I'll go over the rest of the results. So on Dynamite, there was Dynamite and two Rampage ups, shows that consisted of Grand Slam. So on the September 21st Dynamite, Chris Jericho defeated Claudio Castagnoli for the ROH World Championship. That was kind of surprising, but it plays into his, his tensions with Daniel Garcia. So, and plus, ROH doesn't have a TV deal at the moment, I believe, so with Chris Jericho as ROH World Champion, it does make sense on paper. He's kind of one of the biggest stars in AEW. I'm kind of disappointed that Claudio didn't have a longer reign with the ROH World Championship. I would have loved to have seen him defend it more, and even though he has, but I would have loved to have seen it against Colt Cabana. I think that would have been a great ROH World title match. But and I like what Chris Jericho has already done, kind of being the guy that wants to destroy Ring of Honor's legacy and beating up Bobby Cruz. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but that was like this past week's Dynamite, and him facing Bandy, it was a great match as well. So I think despite Chris Jericho not being a fan favorite, he's just been really good as a world champion. So at first I was kind of disappointed because it's Claudio that lost it, and I was hoping Claudio would hold on to it longer, but Chris Jericho was just great. Second match from that Dynamite was the Acclaimed. It was a tag team title match. The Acclaimed defeated Swerve and Our Glory. This was the title change, I believe. This was a great moment for the Acclaimed. There was a lot of heat on Swerve and Our Glory at Chicago when the Acclaimed didn't beat Swerve and Our Glory. The crowd was definitely behind them, behind the Acclaimed, so definitely made sense for the Acclaimed to get these titles, and it was a good moment for them. It's definitely it's good to see them elevated. They were kind of just like a comedy tag team, and they've become one of the top tag teams in AEW, so good for the Acclaimed. And then there was a singles match for the All-Atlantic Championship at PAC, defeating Orange Cassidy to win. They've had history in the past. They've had matches against each other. Orange Cassidy really meshes well with PAC style. And I'd like to see PAC get a new opponent. I'm not sure who that'll be, but hopefully he can make that title more relevant. And I look forward to seeing who he faces next. There was a four-way match for the interim women's world title, and Toni Storm defeated Serena Deeb, Athena, and Dr. Britt Baker. I thought that was the right woman won, Toni Storm. She's been one of the top women wrestlers in general. Kind of disappointed with her run in WWE. I thought she would have been a big star there, but I'm glad to see that she's champion in AEW. And also saw the singles match this past week with her and Serena Deeb. That was a good match as well, the singles match. That was a crazy power driver that she used Serena Deeb recently on TV in that match. And obviously, I mentioned it earlier, the tournament finals, John Max defeated Brian Danielson by a technical submission is what I see. And so, yeah, definitely good to see those two face off and see Blackpool Combat Club on top in the main event. And then Rampage, portion of Grand Slam, September 23rd. Sting and Darby Allin defeated House of Black, and there was a no DQ tag team match. And so there was some brawling on the floor. At one point, Sting was kind of, I believe, handcuffed on a chair. Buddy Matthews was looked like he was going to swing a bat at Sting. And Sting was kind of, I guess he was laughing, and because he probably knew what was next. Lights went out when Matthews had the bat, and Great Muta made a surprise appearance and walked down the ring, and Matthew's kind of in shock. Got a leg, you know, he got the dragon whip from Muda onto Matthews, and Matthews got misted by Muda. And, yeah, Sting and Darby got the win. And over Matthews and Brody King. There's been some drama, some speculation recently about House of Black. Malakai Black, who one of my favorites to follow, he had to come out and clarify on his Instagram that he's not released by AEW. There was a lot of talk about him being released or him asking for his release, but it turns out he's just taking a break. Matthews could be taking a break. What I've heard, it's visa or work, possible work visa issues. That's not confirmed, but that was one story I read, one theory. And then Malakai, I think he just needs some personal time off, and hope he gets enough time to recover and come back, because I think House of Black right now, with the Elite gone and CM Punk gone, I think House of Black could be one of the top factions besides Blackpool Combat Club. So I'm hoping to see them come back soon in full form. Brody King is really good. Julie Hart could be a good manager for them, but I'm just hoping Malakai is okay and Matthews can get, you know, his whatever issues sorted out too. But yeah, that was, just seeing Muda, dude, seeing Muda there, that was the one thing that disappointed me with Black being gone at that time. Malakai, I think Malakai and Muda would be a great match, because I've fantasy booked just the idea of like Undertaker and Muda, so like Malakai and Muda would be an awesome matchup, especially with Malakai's recent use of the poison mist, the black mist. Definitely a very cool moment if you're a great Muda fan. If you're a fan of Sting and Muda's work as a feud, that was cool seeing them together and teaming up against House of Black. And the tag team match from Rampage, the other match on that card, Action Bronson Hook defeated Matt Menard and Angelo Parker by submission, Jericho Appreciation Society. I did not see this match, but I think Hook is a rising star, and Action Bronson was the guy that did his music. So I have to go back and watch it, but I'm sure Bronson did okay, but I think Hook has got a lot of potential, so I'm glad they got the win. There was a tag team match with Warlow and Samoa Joe. I think they were calling themselves War Joe, and they defeated Tony Nese and Josh Woods. Definitely glad to see Josh Woods on TV. Kind of one of the more underrated wrestlers that they have, and he used to be the pure champion of Ring of Honor. And used to see him locally. Tony and I may have seen him at UEW. I had great interactions with Woods, so just glad to see him on TV. Another match was a singles match. Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, beat Ray Phoenix. I'm sure that match was really great, given Phoenix's style. So Jungle Boy, he's going to be a rising star too, just like Hook. So good matchup on paper for sure. Sammy Guevara defeated Eddie Kingston by reverse decision. I believe Eddie Kingston got the win originally, but because he was kicking too much ass, referee overturned it. Not a fan of that decision. I've seen it done before. Finley, his debut match in WWE was kind of similar. He was beating up Matt Hardy after the match result and had a match, you know, decision reversed on him. Sometimes it works, but most times I don't think it does. So I think this is just going to result in another match between these two with Sammy and Kingston. But disappointing finish, but if it leads to another match, I get it. singles match for the TBS title, women's title. Jay Cargill defeated
Diamante.
Yeah, she faced Diamante, yeah. Sorry, there was like other girls at ringside. I was like, why are there so many names? But yeah, I'm not surprised Jay Cargill's been a dominant TBS champion. I don't know who's next for Jay Cargill, but at some point she had to lose the title. But I thought Ember Moon, Athena would have it, but she's just been a dominant champion, so we'll see who's next for Jade. And there was a 25-man golden ticket battle royal for a future AEW World Championship match. Bryson Page, the one that's, I think it's neat that him and Roosh were like, I believe the last two. Adam Page won the battle royal defeating Roosh. Plus at the end of Dynamite this week, they had a face-off there with Moxley and Page. I don't see Page beating Moxley, but it should be a good matchup, given that Page was kind of one of the earlier, given he's a past AEW World Champion, and it should be an interesting matchup. And then there was a lights-out match with Ricky Starks defeating Powerhouse Hobbs. I did not see that, but this has been a really good feud with these two. I think I kind of wish Team Taz had lasted longer, but Powerhouse Hobbs has a lot of potential, and so does Ricky Starks. So. But Tony, what are your thoughts on Grand Slam and just recent events, Dynamite and Rampage, because we have not had a chance to catch up on this recently.
Well, Grand Slam, I want to start with Dynamite. The card was really good. Like, Chris and Claudio had a really good match. Like, I wasn't expecting Chris to win here, and I thought, like you said, I thought Claudio was going to have a longer title run. But overall, this was a very good match. So congratulations to Chris. I was kind of rooting for Keith Lee and Swerve to retain. But the Acclaim has been a really dominable tag team for a while now. So I think they really deserve this win. Pac, I wasn't surprised that he won because he is really good. But I would love to see in the future Orange Cassidy to have a title run in the near future. Tony, I wasn't surprised. You know, I love me some Tony Storm. But the one thing that I was very, very, very excited about was the debut of Paige, a.k.a. Saraya. Like, I have been a huge fan of Saraya for a very, very long time. I believe since her time in NXT. And I know that like, she has been wrestling in a while because of her neck injury. And I know I did hear that she did make her in-ring return back at home in Norwich. But if she is cleared, I would love to see her versus Britt Baker. Moxley and Danielson, like, they did an amazing job. Because I was rooting for both of them because it can go either way because they are both the most dominant and top superstars in AEW. Now, for Rampage,
I definitely want to get your thoughts on Rampage portion, but John, did you have a plug you'd like to get to midway into our show?
Well, I was getting ready to say, gentlemen, we are so pleased to be sponsored by WLSC AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the home of Banana Jack in the morning and Banana Jack and Marshall Biddle in the afternoons, drive time from 3 to 5 with, of course, occasionally Dr. John talking about the paranormal, and our great friends, and want to thank them for keeping us on the air, and we're thrilled to have them, know them, and I'm going to be working with them very hard on the Venus Flytrap Festival and some other things in and around the Horry County area. So, look, thanks a lot, Banana Jack. Thanks a lot, Marshall. You guys are great. And back to you, Steve. I'm going to take a short break and answer a couple of these phone calls that have come in because I don't know if our fans know this, but I was without my Facebook for 11 days.
Mm.
And I have about 400 messages saying, where are you? Are you alive? So I'm just trying to say, I'm alive. I'll get to you later. Bye. So anyway, yes, I'll be back with y'all in 10 minutes. Thanks a lot. You guys are the best co-hosts possible on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Back to you, Tony, and, of course, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
I did want to get your thoughts on Rampage, part of Grand Slam. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the first match, you know, this has been an amazing rivalry between Sting and Darby Allin versus the House of Black. Like, this whole rivalry is a really good, like, really good fit into AEW because both of these they're very dark and stuff. So I'm like really loving all this whole thing. Let's see. Now, Action Bronson and Hook winning. You know, I was really surprised when I saw Action Bronson was wrestling because I know he is a rapper, and
mm-hmm.
and because you see a lot of famous rappers and all kinds of famous celebrities that get a chance to wrestle, whether it's in WWE or AEW. So I was excited to see this. I was very excited to see our good friend Josh Woods on AEW. And like I said, like we saw Josh Woods a few times on UEW, because he had matches with Rhett Titus.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Brian Johnson and Baron Black. So for us to like see him on TV, AEW, it's absolutely amazing. I am like so proud of this dude. And you know, Warlow and Samoan Joe, like they was really a great win with them. Like they are really unstoppable right now. Jungle Boy defeating Rey Fénix. I think since Jungle Boy is now a singles competitor, this is definitely the next step to his singles career after him and Luchasaurus broke up. So I can't wait to see him, what he does next. Sammy Guevara versus Eddie Kingston, really, that was also a good match too. I was very shocked with the decision. I think it was like reverse decision, I believe. I didn't really see the whole thing, but I didn't see the how it ended. But it was a good match though.
I believe he had the stretch form and he kept doing the continuous elbows and referee reversed it. And it's odd, but I've seen it before.
Jay Cargill, really good win here. Like she is a really very unstoppable champion right now. I you know, Diamante, like she, and yeah, she did have a chance to win here, but Jay Cargill ended up winning, and she, you know, I don't know like what her next opponent would be, but I know that whoever her next opponent would be will be a really good match, and it is crazy that like because both Diamante and Kira Hogan are dating, and then, I don't know because like so when it comes to like couples, like a lot of times they have to like clash with each other.
Yeah,
and
following up on that, I remember when Zelina Vega was managing Andrade, we all knew she was with Aleister Black at the time, so it's happened before. It's an odd, knowing the real life situation, clashing on TV.
But Adam Page, like I wasn't surprised that he won here. When he does face Moxley, I know it's going to be a good match, but I think Moxley is probably will retain, even though I would love to see Adam Page get another title run because he had a really good title run. Mm-hmm. And Ricky and Powerhouse, they had an amazing match too. But overall, like Grand Slam was absolutely amazing. I loved it. But I have to say my most favorite moment was Saraya coming to AEW. And if she's clear, I can't wait for her to see her back in the ring.
Oh, for sure. I think she's gotten some criticism for her recent segment. I don't think it was as bad as people made it out to be, but yeah, I'm definitely interested to see what she can do in AEW. She was one of my favorites in WWE. I think she kind of gets overlooked for how much she's accomplished. And yeah, I think she'll definitely have some interesting matchups in AEW. Besides Britt Baker, I want to see her in there with Jamie Hayter. I think I've said this elsewhere. I think Jamie Hayter is going to be over/popular, and she kind of was in Philly, given that Britt Baker's, home. But I think Jamie is a rising star, and I think Paige will, if she's clear, she'll definitely have some interesting matchups there for sure. But yeah, lots going on with AEW. Glad to see that she's there. I'm not sure if she's just an on-screen general manager or if she's going to be wrestling soon, but hopefully they'll clarify that more soon. It was neat hearing her on commentary during the Lumberjack match. And ribbing on Excalibur and Taz, mispronouncing her name. But, I think she's got potential to have some good matchups there. Met her, too, way back at the convention. So we even talked about Bull Nakano when I was at one of her panels. So, yeah, I've had interesting interactions with her, too.
Speaking of that, it was cool, like, ever since her return to wrestling and her debut at AEW, I saw on social media that she got to do a meet and greet at this wrestling convention called Legends of the Ring at New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I just saw, like, how she got to see Tessa Blanchard and Izzy from the former. If you guys don't know who Izzy is, Izzy was the Bayley girl.
The super fan.
Yeah, Bayley girl, super fan back at NXT. And now she's all grown up. And right now she's a trainer. She's training to become a professional wrestler. But she's also has a YouTube channel where it was called The Hot Tog with your girl Izzy. So if you like to check out Izzy and her YouTube channel, definitely go check it out because she did some absolutely amazing interviews with so many amazing wrestlers.
Good to hear. Since we have 20 minutes left, I definitely want to talk about Antonio Inoki. There's so much to get into. Not going to be able to cover all of it, but definitely huge influence, not just in Japan, but internationally. There's been some really good posts and tributes. Scientific Wrestling is a catch wrestling brand that I follow, and they kind of summed it up with bullet points. He was trained by Ricky Dozan, who founded JWA, and Ricky Dozan was kind of like the founding father of Japanese pro wrestling, and Ricky Dozan was actually secretly Korean, became later known, but at the time, you know, Ricky Dozan was a sumo wrestler, and he even had to hide his Korean heritage at the time, just due to, you know, phobias or tensions. But yeah, Ricky Dozan, probably the biggest legend in Japanese wrestling, but Antonio Inoki not far from it, being a student of Ricky Dozan. And Inoki and Baba were, you know, founded their own promotions in '70s, '72. Inoki founding New Japan, Baba promoting All Japan, and Clash of Styles too. And Inoki also trained by Carl Gotch, one of the best legitimate grapplers in pro wrestling. Also, one of Inoki's highlights, he fought Muhammad Ali in a big match. This was kind of a bizarre match, given that it was kind of early MMA style. There were some rules kind of restricting on what Inoki can do, and obviously Inoki shouldn't box at Ali, you know, standing up too much, because Ali is the best, you know, one of the best boxers of all time, probably the greatest. So Inoki basically leg kicked Ali all these rounds, and Gene LaBelle was the referee, and Gene LaBelle was one of the first grapplers to ever do MMA type of match. I mean, he faced the boxer as well, you know, preceding this Inoki Ali match. And yeah, just a kind of freak show type match, but it was a big deal in Japan, bigger so than the States at the time, but it was pretty significant. Even Conor McGregor mentioned it while he was doing press for his fight with Floyd Mayweather, so that boxing match. So it is a huge moment for wrestling and martial arts in general, for that fight to happen. And Gene LaBelle gave the result a draw, but I think just because Inoki had more strikes, I think Inoki should have won. I don't know what the thinking was for Gene to make it a draw, but yeah, it was a bizarre but a very significant match in the pro wrestling and martial arts. Also, besides founding New Japan Pro Wrestling, he was elected to the Japanese House of Chancellors, kind of like the senator over there. Yeah, Sports and Peace Party. Headline, highest attended a professional wrestling match over there in North Korea, which is Ric Flair. I even had Dr. John watching it earlier. Pretty significant. It was a two-day event in North Korea. And let me see if I can find the numbers here of attendance.
They said 190,000.
Yeah, 190,000, and day one was 165,000. But yeah, the Inoki Flair match headline day two. And I know both those numbers are somewhat disputed, but it wouldn't surprise me given that this was a North Korea event and they were kind of under, you know, certain rules to attend. This was like a peace event that Inoki put on, a sporting event that was kind of exposing them to pro wrestling for the first time. That is, I would say that's definitely impressive if those numbers are accurate, because I know they were under significant, I know they were under North Korean regime and they would have to go there, but it's pretty interesting given that North Korea at the time was not familiar with pro wrestling. I think they're very subdued, not out of just reverence, but just unfamiliarity with the sport of pro wrestling. But they were definitely interested in Ric Flair Inoki match, especially given that Inoki was a student of Ricky Dozan, a Korean. So definitely one of the more significant matches of Ric Flair's career. Not his best, but definitely one of his top noteworthy matches for sure. Just for all the context and the attendance involved, and very it's been covered in Dark Side of the Ring, because it's very very tense situation to go over there and under a different culture like North Korea and have to perform. So very significant event in pro wrestling. A good matchup too with those two involved, Ric Flair and Inoki. And I believe Inoki got the win with the pinfall.
He did.
Mm-hmm. But it's 14 minutes and 52 seconds. So pretty significant match for both.
And I believe it's the
wrestlers.
Only time. And I believe it's the only time that Flair has had the figure four reversed on him.
That is pretty significant. Also, an unrecognized WWF champion at one point. He defeated Bob Backlund, I believe this was Japan, for the world title at the time, but WWE kind of did not recognize it. And kind of just suggested that Backlund had held the title during that, you know, during his reign. But yeah, there was a title change at one point with Inoki beating Backlund and Backlund regaining the title. And that's some historical revisionism or controversy that's been brought up. And I think recently, I didn't watch SmackDown, but I heard that Corey Graves even mentioned that Inoki was WWF champion, so that's big, given how sometimes wrestling history gets written by the victors, or you know, it's changed for their narrative. Yeah, very interesting that that's a part of Inoki's legacy too. That he was not just a martial arts champion. There was a martial arts championship, I believe, at WWF at one point, but one of the unrecognized WWE champions. Let me find my notes. And, it was the part of the WWE Hall of Fame class 2010. And, very interesting, the world event, he negotiated the release of Japanese hostage from Saddam Hussein at one point. I'm not sure what year that was, but that is pretty crazy. But also not too surprising given his, role as a diplomat, as a politician. And, he's lived a very legendary life in wrestling and in general. So, it was very fitting that he passed this year. He was 79, he lived a full life, but New Japan Pro Wrestling entered its 50th year, because they started in 72, so very interesting timing. And also with Jean LaBelle passing away earlier this year, not too long ago. So, and him being the referee for that Ollie and Oki match. So, yeah, this huge loss in the world of wrestling, a huge impact. Yeah, New Japan has been one of my favorite promotions in recent years, especially during the Ring of Honor relationship. I think Wrestle Kingdom 9 is when I really got into it. And Inoki or Nakamura versus Kota Ibushi was one of my favorite matches. That card, but also Suzuki and Sakuraba. And that was very, even though it was UWF5 rules, it was very something. It was definitely a style of match that I think Inoki would like, that shooter style. I know Inoki has gotten some criticism for some of his later leadership in New Japan. There, he was trying to push pro wrestling as a martial art. And he had guys like Fedor Emelianenko and Mirko Krokop fight Yuji Nagata. And Yuji was just not going to be as good of a fighter as those two pride fighters. But he dabbled in martial arts at one point, even though pride was, like, very significant in the MMA world over there. And the Yakuza influence with pride at the time. So, yeah, just very interesting times. There was also that match of Vader where Sumo Hall, and Vader was, like, one of the only guys to beat Inoki at that time. And it was a short match, too, and I believe. And the Japanese audience is usually respectful and reserved, but they rioted when Vader got the win over Inoki. So Inoki was that big of a star that he could get a very respectful crowd rioting like that. So yeah, and I've heard he was a bigger star over there than someone like Hogan would be in the States. And you could, the only guys you could really compare star level to Inoki would be like Hogan, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. But obviously Ricky Dozan, probably the biggest star in Japan. But, yeah, Inoki and Baba definitely up there. And glad to see the New Japan and All Japan. But New Japan is still here 50 years later after Inoki starting it. Following their split from JWA. So, yeah.
I also found like some memorable matches that he also had, because the one match he had back in 1975 with the Big Cat Ernie Ladd, and also Clash of the Champions, where he faced William Regal.
Mm-hmm. I was watching that back earlier.
Yeah, and that was actually a really good match. And Don Fry in his own official final match of his career.
Nice.
He also did a Brazilian mixed martial. He also wrestled Brazilian mixed martial artist Renzo Gracie.
Renzo Gracie.
I gotta go
find that. I'm kind of disappointed. I didn't know that. I didn't have that in my notes. I need to look that up. But I think Inoki he definitely wanted to make pro wrestling a martial art. That was his Inokiism way. And doesn't surprise me that he faced Renzo Gracie at one point.
Well, this is Dr. John, and I wanted to say something about pro wrestling being a martial art, because it's not. It is a singular thing called professional wrestling.
Hey,
and it's
catch
a whole
wrestling. Catch wrestling.
It,
Billy Robinson.
Well, I will say it's a bit of a different animal, and you know, it's just not going to work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That was the Enochism controversy that I was talking about earlier. There's fans that just want to watch pro wrestling. There's fans that like the UWF style that is more shooter. There's Enoki was kind of the he kind of coined the phrase strong style, and that was the difference between them and All Japan at the time. Was Enoki wanted to be more shooter based, and All Japan very intense wrestling, but more longer story driven and high impact suplexes. But yeah, that is part of Inoki's legacy too, is that he tried to push wrestling as a shooter, as a martial art. And I mean, he's had matches with Billy Robinson and guys that were legitimate cat wrestlers, and I think that was the reason why I looked up that Lord Steven Regal match from Clash of the Champions, I believe 28. And yeah, that was a match I really enjoyed watching back. Regal, Lord Steven at the time, he got choked out by Inoki, and it was legit too. Like it wasn't just a worked finish, like he really did choke Regal out. So he had enough pressure to, you know, tap, you know, knock him out there. So I think with the right circumstances, it can be, you know, lethal. But yeah,
here's what I want to close this discussion with, because we only have 3 minutes. But let's think about Ricky Morton, Hall of Fame, considered one of the greatest wrestlers truly of all time, packed the venues more than anybody else at the time. And, you know, when you say he's a martial art, no, he's not. He's a great psychologist, and he's a brilliant man in the ring. But, you know, we're talking about apples and oranges when we're talking about an MMA-style wrestling practice versus professional wrestling, which is, you know, Italian Stallion, which is Ricky Morton, which is, you know, all these guys that honestly brought us the greatest pleasure in the world. So why don't we save that for another time, and we'll have a good talk about this. What do you think, Steve?
Hey, I'll close with this. He destroyed Ali's legs at the shoot. He sent Ali to the hospital because Ali's daughter mentioned that. Josh Burnett mentioned that before. So you're not wrong. It's an art form. It's a performance, and I think it can be a martial art. It could be many things, but yeah, we'll dwell on more of this later, but
I want Susan Green in on this conversation, because she
legit.
So anyway, my only plug is thanks to everybody for being here at PWI. Thank goodness we got the old Facebook back, and life is good, so you can catch it on Facebook. And thanks to everybody. We'll see you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel. 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Back to you, Steve, for the last word, and Tony.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
Follow us at ProWrestlingInterviews.com. Tony, thank you so much. Do you have any social media you'd like to plug real quick?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, rest in peace to Antonio Inoki. You know, without him, there will be no New Japan Pro Wrestling, and there will be no Shinsuke Nakamura and Tatsumi Fujinami, because he did train those guys. But I do want to acknowledge this coming Saturday, because you guys know this month is October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and a show called Classic Pro Wrestling is holding an event this coming Saturday at noon at the I think on the Meadows Farm Nursery, and it's the event is free. So if you're available in the Fredericksburg area, definitely go check it out. They're going to feature Bo Crockett, Sledge Gibson, and Salvation. So if you guys are available, definitely go check them out.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tony. You can find us at ProWrestlingInterviews.com. Find me at Star Steven, and I can send you links to the page and just to the show. So thanks, John. Thanks, Tony. Rest in peace, Tony Inoki. That's my final word, John.
The great news is we'll be back next week. Thanks a lot. Take care, everybody, and have a wonderful week. Bye-bye. Now say goodbye, everybody.
Sayonara.
Later. See you later.
That's right. As Dr. John tries to figure out how to stop this show, we'll figure it out later. Here we go. Take care. Bye.